A young team still trying to figure things out. The Jags faltered in the red zone on both sides of the ball, and the Chargers came all the way to the East Coast and took a road win over the Jags. And welcome to Inside the Jaguars, presented by FanDuel. JP Shattuck with Jeff Lagerman. A day after the Jags fell 31-25 to the San Diego Chargers. Red zone, red zone, red zone. We start on the offensive side, though. Four trips inside the 20 for the Jags. Only one touchdown. Learning how to score in that tight area is tough to do.
Well, I think typically for a young team and a young quarterback, that's the last thing to develop. The field shrinks in that area. The decision-making has to be better. The precision has to be better. And overall, everything has to be better for things to function at a high level, and that's the last thing to come. Now, the question that I have is that defensively, they've been pretty good in the red zone. Last year, I thought they were outstanding in the red zone. This year, not so much. And, you know, you can understand in this game a little bit because it's Phillip Rivers. Phillip Rivers is a fantastic player, but the results speak for themselves. Unless you have success in the red zone, both offensively and defensively, it's hard to win games.
The Jaguars are now 30th in the league in offensive red zone touchdown production, dead last in the league on the defensive side of the ball. And that's the difference. Phillip Rivers, 12th-year vet. Blake Bortles, second-year quarterback.
That's the big difference. You know, what is? I think it was like 160-something consecutive start for Phillip Rivers, right. And Blake Bortles is still, you know, starting to get into a second season. That's a big difference, you know, as far as experience goes. You know, can the play calling be better? Everybody wants to question that, and that's natural. That comes with the territory. The execution needs to be better.
If the play works, then it's a pretty good play. And it did not work yesterday most of the time. All right, next step for this team. You know, we've had a lot of talk about the playoffs and the wild card. That's a little bit of a long shot now. You just got to go play well at Tennessee.
Well, and I thought that should have been the mindset going in this past week, and I think it was. But for a young team, now you're 4-7. Okay, you can put out of your mind all the division race. Focus in on what you're going to do, and that's play this game against Tennessee coming up. Sometimes I think when you're a young team, you can become overcome and let the mind kind of get confused about all these different thoughts about, you know, playoffs and division race and all. No. Take care of the task at hand. Y'all, they always say one game at a time. It applies all the time.
Scary yesterday in the game. Alan Hearns went down. The team called it a concussion. He was pulled off the field on a stretcher, taken to a local hospital, released a couple hours after the game, and that's the good news.
Yeah, and it was kind of scary, wasn't it?
Yes.
You know, I mean, you have a player laying on the field motionless. You know, I went through that, you know, a long time ago with Dennis Byrd, and the protocols that are followed now with when you have a question, is it a head or is it a neck, are followed very much to a strict T, because they have to ensure that if there is further damage, that nothing becomes damaged more. And so precautionary measures put in place, put them on the spine board, immobilized the head, strapped them down. All good things, because you want to make sure that nothing else can get harmed if there is damage. But good to see that Alan is released from the hospital, and I'm sure we'll get more updates as it goes.
We will have more updates today from the team. It's time to hear from senior correspondent Brian Sexton. The Jaguars showed again yesterday where they are in their development.
A wise old football sage once told me after a particularly bad loss that water finds its own level. As he walked away, I thought, what the heck has that crazy old man been drinking this early? His point, which is profound today, is that the football team is what it is. You and I can look at the numbers which show a quarterback who will break team records, receivers making plays down the field, and an impressive rookie runner who will only get better. You and I can look and see a lineup with Julius Thomas coming off his best game as a Jaguar and one of his best as a pro, and Marquise Lee, who's just getting into the offense, and Rashad Green back in the swing of things. You and I can look at the schedule and imagine them only getting better this season and making a run at the AFC South. You and I can't, however, overlook how young and inexperienced they are, but we probably did. You and I can look and see a front seven which is number one in the NFL against the run in yards per carry allowed. We can see Telvin Smith and Devon House and Aaron Colvin and imagine them making the kinds of plays we saw in London and Baltimore. But they didn't make them against the Chargers, and so back to the old sage's words, water finds its own level. The Jaguars, too, are finding their own level based on a combination of their talent and experience. And though they're clearly closer than they've been in years, the Jaguars are not quite up to the mark in the standings, which says contender.
Thank you, Brian. Jaguars all access tonight. Who you got?
Got Jonathan Cyprian, and we're going to take a mathematical look at the red zone.
That's not good math.
I don't want you to be confused now.
I'm already confused.
I'll explain it to you in further detail maybe tomorrow.
A lot of Jags fans are confused in the red zone right now. And, of course, it's Jaguars Monday. Prisco and Baselli, 6 to 8 on 1010XL. they'll have plenty of thoughts about the Jaguars' red zone issues. Jags head coach Gus Bradley scheduled to speak to the media this afternoon. We'll carry it live right here on Jaguars.com. That's it for today on Inside the Jaguars, presented by FanDuel.